We're back, treasure hunters.
Holla.
I'm trying to get, you know how those podcasts have the, what is it? You know, it's like, you know, what's up, aliens? Or like, what's up, people?
Aliens? We're not in another dimension.
I know. I'm just saying that they have these like cool intros. And like, I think I like Astonishing Legends where it's like, and we're back. Like, we don't really have a catchphrase yet of like.
No, we don't have culture, I guess.
We're so excited to be back. All right, cool. Well, this is Dustin, and that one is no answer. Devin,
they know.
I hope. What if we had a guest?
No one starts an episode.
What if they had a guest?
Like season, or like episode 7. You want to at least see it through, play around.
What if they did, though?
Our names are, what? Mine's like 4-5 letters.
All right. Well, I don't know why we're talking about names.
6.
But we are going to change it up because, again, it's the first season. We can kind of do whatever we want, and we're excited about that. But we will get a little bit more structure, I think, after we bury this darn treasure, which is happening shortly.
Soon.
All right. These are the announcements. What's the announcements?
So if you follow us on Twitter.
This is a big one.
Yeah. This is huge. I'm in love with the program. Treasure Bot.
It happens.
We got a treasure bot for Twitter, and it'll track keywords like gold, treasure, hunters.
Gold.
And there's already some cool stories that it's retweeted. So if that's your jam.
Yeah, it like DM'd me somehow, which was fine.
I did that.
Oh, you did that. Yeah. All right. That was sad.
I could have set that up.
I thought I was hoping a computer was just talking to me, sending me treasure things.
This is how AI introduces you. Yeah, you fall in love with something.
I'm in. Not even real. Yeah, this is how it happens.
I love you.
What other announcements we have?
Yep. I found a new, I posted it on Twitter, but we found a new sources for Santa de Cristo Mountains treasure, so the Dead Man's Cave. We found a book that is, it's a lot older than the latest account of our sources, which is nice, and it has sources for each.
Devin loves sources. It's like his favorite new word.
I mean, you ever pick up a book and like, this is how I find it. You know what I mean? Does that ever happen to you?
It could. So. I mean, when is the book written? Like 1864? We're feeling real good about it?
No. Early 40s, 50s.
Oh, so actually, yeah, that's not a bad time. Mm-hmm. Definitely like when like it was more, I don't know, like normal to go treasure hunting.
It's centuries. Right?
Or you just find stuff. Like, this is great. Do we have any other announcements? Are we doing email? We would love an email.
What
is it?
Email. Anything.
No, well, what's the email address?
Oh, my God. I forget it every time. UnchartedTreasuresPod@gmail.com.
There we go. All right.
It's long.
I know we have Twitter, we have Facebook, and we'll see about social media, but we're working on a couple other things. I also don't forget about Patreon. We're excited whenever we get a Patreon member as we're able to give you more clues about the treasure, and we're super excited to be burying it very soon.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. So today, we are going to be addressing a case from London, right?
Yeah. Correct-y? So close your eyes.
Oh.
It's freezing.
It is.
Super cold.
It's very windy.
Maybe rainy.
So a lot of gray. So if you're in Oregon, you kind of know what we're in. You know, Pacific Northwest. We're feeling the same way. There's a slight smell of the sea.
Yep.
Yeah. Seagulls are around. There could be a giant Ferris wheel. And a really old clock.
The London Eye, yeah.
Yeah, a real old clock just tolling away.
It's Ben, yeah.
Yeah.
So it brings us to London's Mayfair Square, and it's home to various of luxury shops.
I like that. So is it obviously a shopping mall or a shopping, like an outdoor thing?
Yeah.
There's
one jewelry store in particular that's...
Which is?
Housed, so it's Graff's Diamonds.
Ooh.
And they have a store there. They also have a secret kind of like underground facility, I think it is, sort of.
What?
But that's where they produce lots of jewelry.
Oh, okay. So they like, they...
Cut it, shape it, all that fun stuff. I don't know the whole process, but...
But this is a part of the store?
Well, they're on the same street.
Oh.
They're on the same street.
Okay.
And so this store in particular has been, at least since this research, 3 different robberies.
All right, and we're talking about the Graff Diamond robbery.
Jewelry, yeah.
Okay.
Because this is millions of dollars.
Millions.
Over three periods.
Good Lord.
And it's funny because, like, if you follow the story, actually kind of. So 2003, almost 40 million of euros was stolen. And then 2007, we got 16.4 million.
I mean, good Lord.
And then 2009, it's almost like a serial robber. You know what I mean? It's the same story.
Okay. So we're – sorry, back up a little bit. So we're going to talk about the Graff Diamond store robberies. I'm reading the notes here, and it says the shop makes 350 jewels. Is it jewelry or jewels?
Jewels.
Oh, wow. So they basically shape that amount.
That's how much leaves that other facility.
Oh, okay. All right. And then Antonio DeMarco wrote in an article for Forbes magazine in 2017.
Yeah, he visited.
Okay. So, like Devin just said, there's a 2003 robbery. Two members were arrested, supposedly had ties to the Pink Panther group of thieves. Is this a real group?
Yeah, I had a weird time. When I first discovered them, I didn't really heard of. Granted, they're mostly, European. So, they're pretty much started in the Balkans. And we'll get into that story.
Oh, in the Balkans.
Yeah. Okay. It's kind of crazy because it was just one of those... a big event, Yugoslavia,
yeah,
and the Balkan Wars really shaped a power vacuum. So the ordinary citizens had to find other ways of jobs.
So they
found smuggling.
Okay, yeah. So this is a legit thieving group.
I don't know how active. It kind of dies down in the early, late 2000s that okay. we're in right now, and they pretty much were pretty active in the 90s. And then early 2000s, but they kind of gained a lot of notoriety. And so Interpol had this own special unit, and they've caught in hundreds of members since.
Oh, okay.
All over, too. There's Sweet. Robberies in, India, Greece.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like almost like a network of
It is, people. And we'll okay. talk about that.
All right.
How this network operates.
So that was in 2003.
Yep.
And you said they stole 37 million euros of jewels. Wow. Where do you even go? You're just going straight black market with that? That's an insane amount. And then we have 2007, the Graff Sloane Street store in central London. They stole 16.4 million euros. I mean, it's like a lot of money of jewelries.
Yeah.
So to be able to convert all of that would be taking a lot, right?
No. So to convert diamonds, it's relatively simple. You do need someone who cuts it. So every diamond is etch-a-sketched by laser. Not etch-a-sketch, it's etched with their slogan. So that way they know if it pops up to be resold.
That's what I'm saying. How do you sell jewelry that they're going to claim is stolen?
I mean, from the articles I read, it's pretty easy.
Wow. Okay.
And so one of the main currencies on the black market is small diamonds because they act as currency and they're cheap. So it's easier than cash and especially credit. If you don't want to leave transactions, you'll pay in diamonds.
Okay. All right. So it's at 4:40 p.m. on August 6, 2009. Two nicely dressed men were dropped off by taxi. The fare was 920 euros. How do you know that?
The fare was 920 because in a later interview, he said the fare.
Oh, okay.
So police questioned him. And then coincidentally, when they left after the robbery, they hit their blue BMW into another cab car.
Oh, okay. So this was, all right. So that's wonderful.
That's probably
that's wonderful. One of the dogs just making a bunch of noise. All right. So they give this cab driver a 20, keep the change kind of idea. The cab driver then says it's the best tip he's ever received. That is not that long of a tip, but you know.
Well, that's, $11 profit. Oh, well, yeah, kind of.
Yeah. Euro. Yeah. 11 euro profit.
Yeah.
I mean, we're happy Sorry. Now. We're different. Sorry. We're the different. Then the two proceeded to walk into the Graff's Mayfair store.
Oh, I got to take this moment to talk about the tip. Ladies and gentlemen, please, you work hard to tip. You don't go outside and eat something and give a lousy tip, okay?
Oh,
just
Lord.
Not how it works. Work hard. I mean, I'm a college student, for God's sakes, but I tip 20% at least.
Yeah. Even when the service isn't that good?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the most painful part. But you still got to...
All right. Well, before this, the two men we were talking about had spent hours with makeup artists who receive wigs, toners, latex prosthetics to conceal their identities from CCTV. Because remember, this is London in 2009.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's CC cameras kind of everywhere. So they've taken all of these measures in order to hide their identities. One of the robbers, Amon Cassie?
Yeah.
Cassie? And his mother wouldn't even have recognized him. Said his mother wouldn't have. Okay. So, like, they went full, like, Hollywood makeup on this, basically.
Yeah.
Two like, to four full, hours. Full yeah. different. I mean, they could have been the Grinch at this point. The two forced the staff to open the display cases. Later, the staff said they knew the two knew exactly what they were looking for. They stole 43 items in a bag. Oh, altogether.
In a bag
worth around 65 million euros and took a woman hostage. As the two with the hostage were exiting, a security guard saw the two leaving the store with the hostage and drew his weapon. One of the shooters, or one of basically the suspects, opened up and fired, which is actually kind of weird because there's no guns in England.
Right, I mean, right? So almost illegal. Yeah. When I went there in 2014, it was around May, and they had 11 deaths in the year, and they were already thinking, hey, that's too much.
For gun violence?
Yeah, for knife violence.
Oh, so just deaths.
Just stabbings, yeah.
Got you.
And, well, that's why it's really, like, you think about the culture and, like, IRA bombings and stuff like that. They're not really used to this. You know what I mean? This kind of violence.
Yeah, so. Which makes sense. But even with knives, they were talking about that?
11 deaths, stabbing. Yeah.
Far too many.
Too much. There were already, like, campaigns or, like...
I mean, we're in the United States.
You know, like, Trayvon. There were, like, cultural movements against...
That would be amazing. I don't know what, like...
We don't have the emotional intelligence.
No. My goodness. Okay. Or, I guess, the stubbornness, too. We don't really have that.
Well, what's his book? What's his name?
Who?
Malcolm Gladwell.
Oh. Malcolm, yeah.
Anyway. He talks about in Outliers, the culture... of honor and how people came over as immigrants, you know, like herders had to protect their herd and they had to be seen as aggressive. Otherwise people just trample over them. So they were willing to kill other people to protect their flock.
Oh, okay.
And their livelihood. That's how they made money.
All right.
And that kind of festers into rural, United States.
Got you. Okay. So
this is the United States anyway. Sorry.
One of them opens fire. Does it say that the security guard, fired back?
It was just a brief interval, 2-3 shots.
Okay, so just a quick, like, hey, here's a little warning area. Because it doesn't sound like they wanted to kill anybody. They just wanted the money. I mean, or the jewels.
Well, you have $65 million in your bag. You're on the street. You're going to your car that someone parked off there.
And you took a hostage.
Yes.
Yeah.
You want to get in there.
So they left in a blue BMW. It was already waiting outside the store. Upon leaving, they hit a black cab. So just, you know, thank goodness they tipped well because...
Who does that come out of?
Yeah,
the company?
I don't know. And then they changed vehicles 3 times in less than a mile. So they've got this down. Whomever this is, they've got it. Mm-hmm. They've got the idea and what you should do. I mean, this is legit just out of the movies. While scrambling amongst dropped vehicles, a burner phone was dropped in between the seat and the handbrake. Upon further police investigation, the phone revealed and caught and indicted the criminal network in the months after. Wow, okay. Several drivers were paid to park large trucks to keep police pursuers from bypassing the robbers. See, that's the part that I like. How do you get everybody? And like, who interviewed these people? Like who? Like what the trucks?
So they were blocking the road.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, were they like, how? Why were you on the road?
They were just paid to be there.
But like, did they tell the cops that?
Yeah, I told them that. They said, "Look, we got paid. We got a large sum of money. You park here crazy. During this time." And so they did it between in drop vehicles when they were changing vehicles. That way they had a little bit more time to switch over.
That's absolutely crazy to me. Like, how does that work? How are you able to just do that?
I mean, I always want to do like a robbery, but like you do like a flash mob.
That's literally what they did.
Just blend in with the rest of the people.
I mean, what they kind of did. They just did it better than anybody else.
Creativity, people. This is what the world needs most.
After the third vehicle switch, police believe the bag was dropped off at the airport and left the country as soon as it was in that other person's hand. Which makes sense. I mean, it's not a digital product. It's an actual physical one. And if it's a bag and it has all these jewels and diamonds or whatever in it, and it's worth that amount of money, you want to get it as far away as from the scene of the crime as possible. And then that would be one of London's...
This is London.
Oh, this is London's biggest robbery? Wow. And it's all from that store. Because there was 2 other robberies. I mean, like, you're over like 100 million... I mean, plenty over 100 million euros currently. Like, that's nuts. The the interesting case is because there are a large number of moving parts, a criminal network. Yeah. So do you want to talk about this other part here where it says like the diamond is still, all the diamonds are still unaccounted for?
Right. Except for one in 2012, a pawn shop in Hong Kong received a 16 karat yellow diamond for certification. Wow. That was hard for me. So the Gemological Institute of America determined the diamond. So they got evaluation. They wanted to, once they got this, they wanted to prove its certification that it was verified.
I mean, do we have the ability to figure out if they were like relasered?
Yeah, they're relasered. That's like, what this one happened with this one.
Yeah. Oh, so how did this one get caught? I guess he sent it to this institute in America and then,
well, the reason why they had it in Hong Kong was because of jurisdiction, right? They're, China has a no extradition country. So you can go there, you can get freed, and they're not really going to, you're not going to be taken back to your original country.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that's why this item was sold there in case the people who sold it
were taken caught. Yeah. Got you. Okay.
So
where does Amon Cassage come into play?
He was one of the robbers that went into the bank.
Oh, into the jewelry store.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's fine. It's funny because we're not talking about actual money. We're talking about
things. I mean, we process a lot of treasure information.
Yeah. Yeah, we're talking about actual money. So how did they catch him? Do you know?
So when the phone was dropped, it had contacts.
And okay.
It only had criminal contacts. And that was everyone for the job. It was a burner phone. So when you're changing vehicles, light it on fire, for God's sake. This is the least of the message.
Oh, my goodness.
You've seen the town.
We're not gonna teach people
how to be a good one. That's Abraham Lincoln.
All right? Whatever you are. All right. I like it. Okay. So he's actually caught and sentenced to 23 years in prison and found guilty of conspiracy to rob, kidnap, and possession of a firearm. Did they ever mention what happened to the hostage?
Yeah, I don't know if she was let go as soon as the firing or she was taken in the blue BMW and just dropped there.
Okay, so she was just left in the car. She's alive and fine. She was
left in minutes.
Yeah. Got you. Okay. So the three others, which are Salman Bain, Clinton Mogg, and Thomas Thomas.
A name so nice they named him twice.
Of course, yeah, that's not weird at all. Jailed for 16 years. So all these, basically this burner phone led to all of these people. Yeah. Gotcha. And then it says you can watch the videos online and see the prosthetic noses.
If you're into that.
I mean, yeah, if you're into that, go for it. We'll link it into the notes somewhere. What do we have? Okay, so 2 days prior, Amon and Calderwood.
So this is on the 6th, I believe the 4th. They were seen again on TV. On
footage. Yeah. Window shopping in front of the store, but believe they called off the heist that day because they saw a police vehicle. Gotcha.
So the same patterns that we see with jewelry heists is they know the items before they take them. And as we move on to the Pink Panthers, they almost always have a buyer beforehand.
Okay, because we talked about the Pink Panthers briefly. You were going to try and get into a little bit more of it?
Yeah, I found it really interesting. I had never heard of this group before.
All right.
But they're pretty popular in Europe, Asia.
I mean, sounds like everywhere where you can run away. Yeah. Or, I mean, I don't know how that works. But the Pink Panthers are believed to be involved in 341 robberies, estimated to have stolen around 300 million euros total. And they're basically dubbed the most successful diamond thief gang in history. Jobs have ranged from London to Tokyo, Geneva to Singapore. A network of criminals estimates around a couple of hundred members. That's a lot of people.
Yep.
To move, like, and if they're, I mean, even if you get, man, even if you had, you know, 200 people and, like, you know, 80 of them, I mean, you know, some of them are low level, obviously, but, like, if more than half of them are high, like,
competent,
know really what they're kind of doing.
Well, that's what these people are. They're like, experts in a certain either safe cracking,
yeah, welding. Whatever. And they just form up teams together. Is what I'm.
Yeah, like, they operate like a terrorist network.
This is Fast and Furious.
Well,
I mean, maybe without the cars, because they. Well, I guess they
do have a getaway driver.
They blew up a lot of cars too. The standard operating procedure is to have a small network of experts, and once the job is done, another network handles the transportation. The crew travels back to various Balkan countries protected by corporate corrupt officials.
Corporate, this is why you read it.
That would be nice. I mean, that would be that's like a foolproof plan there.
Yeah.
So, and then they cut everything and run.
So jobs will become like, so like, let's say you get an invoice and this is a job that you want to do.
Yeah.
Because a buyer selected it.
Yeah.
And then there's the diamonds, here's a list, and here's what you take. you give it to the team that's most fitting, especially in that area.
Gotcha.
And they'll handle it. Now, they'll take around 15% of the overall haul, and the logistics that gets it out of the country quickly and resells it is around 5%, the couriers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So.
Okay.
And we see this with terrorist networks, too. Couriers are often, you know, more popularly used because they have one job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're not trying to arrange all the multiple pieces. They have other people doing
it. They have one, yeah, yeah.
Okay. So in an interview with journalist Havana Marking in a Guardian article, the alleged Pink Panther member said, there's no victims in what we do. We scare people. We don't hurt them. We only take expensive things from rich people. That's, I mean, it's... It sounds real Robin Hood-y, but I mean, there's victims somewhere.
Right. So up until, the only victim that I found was in 2013, a woman was killed and then they shot a cop.
Oh.
There was a gunfire between cops. I think one of them was
somebody
hit,
got
but
in
I don't know
way.
If anyone would die. Yeah.
Okay.
So their overall history, they're not aggressive, but that's also bad because if people know you're from the Pink Panthers, they're know you're not going to be aggressive.
Yeah.
But sense. I mean, they don't know that because they don't wear pink. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, you don't say.
Yeah, it's shocking to you.
Say yeah. So more about the Pink Panthers group. The group was born in the Balkans, shaken by savage and horrible wars. The only person who basically wasn't angry or homeless, the Panthers got away with money. During that period, basically, of that whole thing, the political collapse, the poverty-stricken nations, and then they started to just create generations of individuals who were just out of work and needed to work. And
well, no, that all the collapses and all the poverty and all the wars created a generation, like baby boomers. But these guys are more specific, women too.
Yeah, they had. I mean, they all had skills. They all had skills with things, whether it was vocational skills.
So this basically is a culture based around theft.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. Or you know, trading more than anything else, I would imagine.
Well,
right?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so it says, ordinary people started smuggling food and necessities to heroin, guns, and other high-yield profitable items. These various smuggler routes would eventually handle millions worth of diamonds.
True diamond hands. So the allure about stealing small jewelry items, you know, maybe a couple mil, is because they're not regulated. So the main currency in the black market, especially for high-yield items, you know, guns, heroin, you name it, they use small diamonds because they can be recut.
So that's their currency.
Yes.
Got you. So you can basically recut them and then, like, they're yours.
Yep.
Or whatever.
And then resell them, do what you want. You can hold on to them.
Yeah. Yeah. Because they don't really lose too much value.
No.
That makes sense. Okay. Their jobs they do, they receive about 15%, which is kind of low.
We already talked about that, though.
No, we really didn't. But, I mean, like, it's pretty low of, like...
Did you just delete it, or what?
Yes.
Oh, you didn't tell me that.
And then the early 2000s, the Panthers were identified. 2007, Interpol created a subdivision specifically for them. At that point, basically 189 Panthers have been arrested. 59 members were caught in 2013. Do we know if they're still active?
I mean, I haven't found anything new on them.
No.
They've been hunted, I don't know.
Real bad.
Almost to extinction.
Okay. Yes. So, like the Velociraptor.
Sure.
I mean, it just, you know, she's a dangerous girl. But
well, that's the thing. They had all this allure and people wanted to join them in this mythology based around, hey, they were true Robin Hood.
Okay.
Like, everyone has that idea, like, oh, I'm going to actually truly take from the rich and give to the poor.
Yeah.
But almost something goes awry.
But yeah, I mean, it sounds like this is just a criminal network of people who do robberies or, you know, but
right,
through jewelry as opposed to just robbing
but
banks.
Except they're one of the most, this is like the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah.
They wanted to be thieves.
Yeah. They were the most successful.
Sure.
They're now.
And besides cryptocurrency, we don't know how really that's going to go and maybe stealing of that.
Yeah.
But this is the most successful game.
Got you. Okay.
And there is a documentary you can watch by the BBC. It's called Smash and Grab, The Story of the Pink Panthers.
I'm going to check that out. That sounds really interesting.
It could be. Also, if you're a Pink Panthers member right now and you want to do an interview, we would love that. We're going to keep you total anonymous. We don't want to ruin your nickname or anything like that.
We can't even say it right. So that's how
anonymity,
good, that's,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
How good we'll have it. Yeah. We can go through WhatsApp. We can go through Signal, not the one that, you know, Elon told you to invest in, but the normal one.
We
could do like
pigeons. We can keep it old
school. Yeah, I mean, well, yeah, we could do it, you know, underneath the Pink Panther theme if you want. So that is the Graf's market, basically the Graf's diamond market heist or robberies. Do you know if any of those, so besides that one diamond, the one that got turned in and then obviously given, you know, not Hong Kong, but in China, basically, is there any other of the jewelry that's been found? None of the other jewelry or the...
No.
Wow, that's crazy.
Not from what I found.
So there's $100 million in stolen jewels just being, you know, floated around, basically.
Well, this is just from, like, London. Yeah.
That's what I mean. From this store is what I meant. Okay. Man, that's crazy. Well, so we took it a different route this time, guys, and we appreciate, guys and gals, I should say, we appreciate you kind of coming along with us, because usually we talk about a person or... an actual, you know, treasure site or whatever it is. And we kind of did the opposite route now. And it was more about this area that has been robbed a bunch of times. And we know of it. We don't know where anything is, but that's kind of fun. I like it. So that's the jewelry heist from London that we talk about. Cool. You got anything else to say?
No. I'm good.
You're just here. All right. Well, thanks everybody.